very bizarre.
Ladies and gentlemen,
anytime you can put up something, you know,
and we thank you for sharing that with us.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Name, image, and likeness is here.
And I'm Bob, every player.
Open up your checkbooks a little bit more for our collective.
I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests: Saints wide receiver Jarvis Landry, ESPN senior baseball writer Jeff Passan, 49ers tight end George Kittle, plus Colts defensive end Yannick Ngakoue. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on a busy Friday before the Preakness weekend, before more NBA playoffs, more NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball heading towards Memorial Day weekend. We got all that on our brains here today over the next 3 hours with not one, not two, but three National Football League players to talk to because we have football on our minds, as always, here on this program. It's kind of a given. The PGA Championship is in round number two. We're going to keep an eye on all of that over the next 3 hours here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Sirius XM Channel 85, we say hello to you. We say hello to the growing list of Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio partners that we have and affiliates across the country. We say hello to those who listen to us every single day on the Odyssey app and then our podcast listeners. We are affiliated with the Cumulus Podcast Network. You can get our podcasts wherever podcasts are available. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for anything that you're going to miss over the next 3 hours. Christopher Brockman, how are you, sir? Good to see you,
Rich,
over there.
After last night, I'm doing most excellent.
Good to see you. DJ Mikey D is in D's
Rich,
nuts.
Good morning.
TJ Jefferson is lighting the candle best he possibly can. Mm-hmm. Good to see you over there.
Well, it's good to be seen, especially on a Friday.
There you go.
Yeah,
very good.
Here on a Friday.
There
How
you
about
go.
That?
Yeah.
I've been here all week, and I told you guys to try
It's the first full week of the Rich Eisen Show.
When was the last time you worked a full week?
2021. Is this thing on?
Good job, Rich.
Hello?
2021.
That but, wasn't that long ago. You should have said 20 for effect, Rich.
But he realizes he doesn't shine shoes no more. He's just been away a while. That's all.
True.
It's good to see
shine
you. Good
shoes
to
for
you.
A while.
Good to have you here for a full week, Mike.
Keep him here.
I tell you all the time, the show is better for you sitting in that chair. There's no question about
he's
that.
He's not a limo driver anymore, Rich.
Well, he's not dropping Liza off or Toblerone anymore, no.
And also, Rich, when you say that, no offense, like I think sometimes if fellas at home hearing that, he might take a slight offense, you
Who
know,
does?
Feller. Maybe when you say the show's better off when Del Tufo is here,
I tell
facts.
That to Jay too.
Do you?
Oh my. Wait, that it's better when Mike's here?
Well, I mean, Mike's started the show. Mike is a day one guy.
I'm a founding member.
I know, but like if I filled in on the drop of a hat, I'd be a little. My feelings might be touched.
He knows. It's like he's a.
But Felly knows that I love him too. Don't try and divide.
Felly's a member of the tribe.
I understand.
That's why I thought you guys would be closer.
I don't understand why you'd say that.
It's Friday.
Chris Brockman's in a great mood.
Game
one, he's wondering the Celtics, do they have the right stuff? And game two, halftime.
Rick, let me
by game two, he's tweeting out, we've got the better team. It's obvious. See you later.
Rich, I got a phone call.
We're in the NBA Finals. He's lifting the trophy over there.
It was obvious.
Rich, I got a phone call last night. It's over, is what I was told on this phone call I got from someone in this room that this series is over.
They've played 8 quarters of basketball.
They look terrific.
The Celtics have won 5. The other two are tied in a game that was already over, and they lost 1 quarter. You tell me who's the better team.
Al Horford's the special sauce.
They're going to have to kill our
Marcus Smart, too, the defensive player of the year. He's outstanding.
It's a big difference.
Celtics looked terrific last night. That wasn't even a contest. That thing is all she wrote.
23-pointers.
I mean, look, when the Celtics play defense the way that they play and then can put in 23-pointers, that's going to be very difficult for anybody to beat that sort of thing, as the defending world champs found out the hard way, losing the last 2 games of that series to the Boston Celtics, who now took game two, and now it's a best of 5 with the Celtics having home court advantage over the Miami Heat.
Let's go.
That's the way things now go in the Eastern Conference Final after yet another huge night of Celtic basketball. Game two of the Western Conference Final is tonight between the Warriors as they try and take a 2-0 lead, and the Mavs are going to maybe be inspired by what the Celtics looked like last night. So that was incredible. And so there's that. And hey, Trevor Story hit all the home runs that he hasn't hit over the last 7 weeks in just one game last night. So there's that.
Best player in Major League Baseball since May 18th.
Since May 18th. He has been on fire since May 18th. Today is what? May 20th.
Yeah.
Very good.
The greatest 2 days in baseball
best
history.
Of the week.
Well, we'll talk baseball with Jeff Passan, who we haven't spoken to.
Been a while.
That's what happens when a sport locks out. And then now we're about 6-7 weeks into this Major League Baseball season. So we'll catch up with Jeff, who we love talking to. I like talking to the two Jays, Jeff and John Boy. Those are the two guys I like talking baseball with on this program.
Were we trying to get Jeff yesterday, but, you know, Jimbo.
Jeff was scheduled to appear yesterday.
Okay.
And then Jimbo. And then the greatest food fight in the history of SEC food fights broke out. So let's hit that one, shall we?
You're got a real smile on your
still
face
can't
about that.
Get,
you
know, Rich is like Luca right now, just grinning after it.
Yeah, man. Because when one coach calls out another coach, it's always going to be something to talk about. But when one coach who calls out the other coach is the greatest coach in the sport, potentially history of the sport, or the magna cum laude of coaching, as Deion Sanders referred to Nick Saban with a little bit of sugar before he added the spice in his response.
DJ is toast.
To Nick Saban, we all know Nick talking about how Texas A&M bought players.
Just, being a little, all of them.
Aggressive. Every player that they just had in their number one recruiting class. And then just as he's going on about that, suddenly Deion, the school that he coaches, that name is in Nick Saban's mouth, and Jimbo Fisher fires back. Mike, we have the soundbite of Jimbo Fisher from yesterday, the exclusive soundbite that we found for the Rich Eisen Show. He came out and talking about that's how he came out yesterday.
Okay.
That's right. That was it.
Yeah.
That's how he came right out of the box. Talking about Saban's God walks on water, huh? That guy. You should look into his past. I know everything, but I'm not saying anything. Come on, Jimbo. You had your one shot. You had your one shot to basically talk about what Saban's done everywhere he's ever been. And
even at Toledo?
Even at Matt Eberflus was on the payroll, is what you're saying? That was part of yesterday's show.
This was bag dropping.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, great fantasy team name. Eberflus's Bagman. Eberflus's Bagman is a great fantasy team name. Eberflus's Bagman. Put it down. Write it down. There's room on your sheet, I'm sure.
Yeah, we got a lot of names.
So there's that, right?
TV announcer talk, that means
by the way, Lincoln Riley's probably sitting here in Los Angeles pulling the Magic Johnson. Like, I want no part of this.
Right.
You know, before anybody mentions my name, Caleb Williams with his Beats by Dre deal he suddenly had here at the school.
Like immediately.
That's got Dre and Jimmy of Iovine's name written all over it, right?
Yep.
I don't pay no attention to our new quarterback that we have here. So
he's got a recruit from Pitt.
Saban, hold on. Let's take it one step at a time here. So after we went off the air, Deion had yet to speak. And I think Deion did this expertly, because the minute that Jimbo showed up, you know, like Scarface, say hello to my little friend, and just absolutely sprayed bullets everywhere.
Say hello to my little friend!
After that press conference yesterday, it didn't serve Deion to go do an on-camera. So he picked up the phone or answered a phone call. And spoke off camera, and you could put up the comments if you don't mind. Responding, he called Anscape and Jean-Jacques Taylor, and mentioned how he hadn't spoken to Saban, and he said, "I'm sure he's tried to call," and he said, "We need to talk publicly, not privately. What you said was public. That doesn't require a conversation. Let's talk publicly and let everyone hear the conversation. You can't do that publicly and call privately." No, no, no. And that's what he said. I still love him. I admire him. I respect him. He's the magna cum laude of college football. That's what it's going to be, because he's earned that. But he took a left when he should have stayed right. I'm sure he'll get back on course. I ain't tripping. Saying he doesn't wear a watch, but he knows what time it is. Oh, God. I mean, when I saw those two lines in a row, I'm like, I've heard this Deion before, you know, in parking lot green room trailers, getting ready to do Thursday Night Football, going on about something. I knew he was feeling it. They forget. I know who's bringing the bag and dropping it off. I know this stuff. I'm not the one you want to play with when it comes to all of this stuff. Once upon a time, the bag was just a bag. Now there's equity among the big boys. We don't have those types of bags. We don't have the boosters and donors and givers. Leave me out of that mess y'all got going on. And then he said what a lot of folks were opining about yesterday, including from this chair. Saban wasn't talking to me or Jimbo Fisher. He's talking to his boosters. He was talking to his alumni. He was talking to his givers. He was trying to get money. That's what he was doing. He was just using us to get where he was trying to get to. Hey, Alabama Collective, not any 12th man type contributors here, huh? Because Texas A&M's number one now. Yeah. We need to get going.
And I actually believe that.
You know, I don't know. That might have been what's simmering inside or he's thinking about. I don't think he went up on that podium with an agenda.
He's in a room full of his boys. One of those like local Alabama things.
People who can give too.
Right, exactly. You know, Alabama boosters and contributors, friends of the program. And he's just trying to rile them up and get them all fired up and excited. And he got a little carried away. And crazy. I don't know.
Saban called ESPNU or took their phone call on the radio.
Oh.
This is what he had to say yesterday as well.
You know, I should have never really singled anybody out. You know, that was a mistake. And I really apologize for that part of it.
There you go. Did he apologize for that part of it?
He said
he said that. Well, no, he did. But then he said, you know, everything else, though. Everything else, he's not changing a word. Called it completely out of control, not a sustainable model. Talking about how he should have been more specific when I said bought and saying you can buy players now through name, image, and likeness and never mention any specific school and just said across the sport, that's on me. But other than that, I don't have any regrets. He said a lot of people are silent on this, and some of it has been lumping NIL in with using NIL to pay players to go to school. But at this stage of my career, I'm not worried about what people think of me. And he also said that it's like having free agency with no salary cap. I said it yesterday. I'm like, there has to be some rules here. There has to be some rules here. There really has to be. So everyone knows, at least sitting from the chair, it's all on the up and up. And everyone knows what you can do and what you can't do. And there's talks about salary caps and what to pay guys and all that business. The person I'm eager to hear from more than anyone else, okay, is Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. Because that's the guy, along with maybe Gene Smith, the Ohio State athletic director, mm-hmm. and a couple other people who can get together and say, what about doing this ourselves? Because if we're waiting for the NCAA to do something, if we're waiting, as Nick Saban said, the federal government to do something, this thing's going to keep spinning way out of control, and we don't need a food fight on our hands. So what did Greg Sankey do yesterday? He told everyone to shut up. And sanctioned both coaches. A public reprimand was issued to Saban and then to Fisher as well.
What does that mean?
Saying public criticism of any kind does not resolve issues and creates a distraction from seeking solutions. We need to work together to find solutions that will be our focus at the upcoming SEC spring meetings. I'd love to be a fly on that wall because I'll tell you what, the answer is, we need to do this ourselves. We can't wait for anyone else. We're going to do it here first, and maybe other conferences will see what their
11
construct is and match it.
Very good.
And then once they match it and they're going to be aligned, then maybe 2-3 years down the road, I'll be just like, let's just play to let's just figure it out. How about this? Ohio State plays Alabama.
Amazing.
You know, how about USC plays Michigan? Right? How about LSU plays Clemson? And then suddenly you've got, that's what you got. And then just like the NFL, where you play teams within your division, aka conference, and teams outside of your division, or AKA conference. That's where college football is going to go. But in the meantime, I guess a Sankey slap on the wrist, right? A Sankey slap has been issued. And our friend Dan Patrick, whose show precedes ours, and we'll see them at the Sports Emmys on Tuesday night and in New York City. Paul Pabst tweeted out that they had Lane Kiffin all lined up, but Lane was told by the SEC, we're not talking right now.
Oh.
So Paul tweeted out.
Interesting.
Lane was all set up to appear on Peacock on Dan's show and his radio network. And then that's the end of that. The Sankey slap. The Sankey shh. The Sankey shh. Because it does not suit. I guess that was a name, image, and dislike. That it did not help the SEC yesterday. Let's not talk about Fight Club. Let's not do this. It's ugly. It doesn't help anything. And all we need to do is sit in a room and figure this thing out ourselves because we're not doing this anymore. And then once they figure it out, someone else is going to figure it out.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 104th PGA Championship.
Don't know when,
sponsored by Ferguson, Trade Pros. Save time in your workday. Use Pro Pickup. Will Zalatoris might be rail thin, doesn't exactly have an athletic build.
And I don't blame Nick for suddenly having an issue about this sort of thing. As he said, at this stage of my career, I don't care what people think. He's 70.
Early and then drove
he knows the next coach of Alabama whenever that person arrives. We'll have to deal with a completely different world. He's trying to go back to the previous world while saying, I don't mind it if the players get theirs.
Yeah, Zalatoris knocked in four putts from outside 20 feet. Not exactly his forte.
They're over.
It's Rory McIlroy at 5-under. Zalatoris
4-under. The better it is for everyone. You won't have a food fight. Just figure it out. NCAA is not going to do it. And Senator Tuberville and everyone else in the federal government won't figure it out either.
3-over right on the cut line.
They're going to have to figure it out for themselves. And that's what's going to start happening in the spring meetings.
I'm Ted Emrick, Westwood One Sports.
No more talking. No more say hello to my little friend in College Station.
Great.
Man, Jimbo had his shot to just pull back the curtain.
Good, how are you?
Instead, he strolled up to the line.
He kind of looked over. He kind of kicked some dirt on the line.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, it didn't happen.
Away.
So, you know, we're going to take a break. Yeah. And our first guest today is none other than Jarvis Landry, the Juice.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be joining us from, he's a New Orleans Bird. Saint. Him, Olave, Kamara, Michael Thomas. Hello.
No more excuses for Jameis.
And George Kittle will be joining us. He's got his second year of the tight end university that he and Kelsey and Greg Olson, now apparently the new number one voice with Kevin Burkhardt at Fox until Tom Brady decides to stop playing football. He will be joining us, George Kittle, on the program. Yannick Ngakoue as well. And speaking of a sport with free agency but no cap, baseball. We'll talk about that with Jeff Passan. You've got a what's more likely, Christopher?
What's more likely?
As we always have on a Friday, you've got a big-ass grab bag, TJ Jefferson?
I do.
Okay, and then all we need is just you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Jarvis Landry. He's got that fleur-de-lis on his hat and a smile on his face. Coming up next. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. What's going on in the PGA Championship while Jarvis Landry is being sought
Rich,
after?
So PGA Championship, Roy McIlroy, still your leader at a 5-under. He tees off at, 1:36 local time in Tulsa. Not that many low rounds today. There is something like 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Oh, really?
Going on in Tulsa. It's still hot. It's 81. It's supposed to dip down into the high 40s, low 50s over the weekend.
81 is the number of degrees or the number of heaters that John Daly smoked during his first round?
Did you see the actual number?
Was it 21?
It was 21 heaters yesterday.
What is going on?
In the first round?
How does he live?
He's invincible.
Pack,
right?
And you know what? Did you see what he did after?
After his round was over, he went and ate at Hooters.
And then went to a local casino.
Yeah, was I can do that.
Spotted playing slot
that
machines
way we come
all night.
Back with hoagie.
That's legendary
Roy.
Status.
I'm sure people don't smoke at a slot machine either. So, what do you think? Do you think he smoked 80 cigarettes yesterday?
It's very possible.
I mean, if you smoke 21 cigarettes during a round,
how many are in a pack?
How many?
20 in a pack. I don't even know.
As you know, my history with tobacco, not very good.
Yeah, me too.
As I once upon a time told you that I dipped tobacco in college and got it in my eyelid, and that was the end of my smokeless tobacco era.
And I took a dip in college and woke up down in the
Will Brinson, I don't know if he's there and following him around, but he had the number at 21 heaters, 12 Diet Cokes,
damn,
6 packs of peanut M&Ms.
How does that work?
And no water.
Most impressive stat.
By the way, peanut M&Ms.
No water.
I'm with him on that.
How does he survive?
Have you seen him?
I have seen him. How do you survive?
What's the most
imagining? I'm imagining he didn't go gluten free at the Hooters.
I don't think that's an option, Rich.
And then I'm imagining that the run at the casino at the slot machine wasn't
at least 8 more Diet Cokes.
Vice free either.
No.
You know what the sad thing was? He had to open a new pack, like probably on like the last hole because he was at his last cigarette.
Well, I'm sure he's
okay. So, the next one. So the picture of him at the casino is legendary, right? T-shirt, shorts, sandals. He's got a stack of bills in his left hand, right hand's on the respin, and then he's on the edge. So there's a little ledge for to like rest your drink or whatever.
Yeah,
a pack of Marlboro Reds and actually 2 packs. Ashtray and a Diet Coke.
Oh my God!
Yeah, this picture is legendary.
I'm going to retweet this John Daly photo so you can see it.
John, we need to fuel ourselves better, John. Oh my God, these are choices.
These are choices, man.
When's he tee off today?
All right. So John was in the he was in the first group yesterday.
Right. So that means he's in the last group today?
So he's at 10:25 Pacific, so 1:25. Oh,
noon, so right just afternoon.
Noon 25 local.
Oh, okay. So after the breakfast of champions.
No idea what he's throwing down. Waffle House, probably.
Then you got Tiger out there, like, no days off.
No days off, giant hero, protein loading.
I mean, just for the health and safety crowd, you think Daly's got to finish better than, finish worse than Tiger, right?
You would think so.
But he's better.
He's 2 shots better than Tiger right now.
Yeah. He's 2 shots better than.
I was going to say.
Who else? Like, I feel obviously, bad Tiger, for Daly's Tiger, playing Tiger might not be an appropriate comparison because of what he's coming back from.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so let's choose somebody else. Like if you don't have a better score than John Daly after he comes out and heaters and, and peanut M&Ms and like Diet Adam Cokes Scott? His way around?
Dustin Johnson is six over.
So Dustin Johnson
is six over.
And that's a perfect example.
That's a great example.
Perfect example.
Dustin Johnson six over.
Dustin Johnson with, you know, is with Paul, you know, and Paulina living his best life, living his world, right?
Yeah, big yoga guy. Like,
right,
yeah,
I'm sure all that.
Yep.
And he's in shape. I need to be in shape to get around Southern Hills. I need to be ready. I got to be my best version of myself. And you're four shots worse than some chain-smoking, peanut M&M eating, diet soda slurping.
No water imbibing.
Hooter attending. One-armed bandit ripping.
Keep going.
You keep going.
Santa Claus bearded. John Daly.
Wow.
I mean.
You should just go and give it all up.
Can you call it chain smoking, though, when you're slamming two packs a day?
Oh,
what do you call it?
That's not chain smoking. That's just like Mad Men style.
No, that's what chain smoking is.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Chain smoking was just like random.
No, it's just your chain. It's like
just keep going.
Oh, assembly line.
Yeah, got it. Heater.
Showing my age.
I mean.
Damn. Okay, so we'll keep an eye on John when he gets out on the course just to see not only how he scores, but.
If he stays.
No wonder he needs a car.
Right? Yeah.
Hold on a second.
There is a stage.
If you're the PGA of America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you basically say, we're not giving you a cart just because you can't eat right and drink and hydrate properly? Like,
yeah, right?
That's it. Like, you know, we'll give you a cart, you know, if your condition shouldn't be, I just can't eat properly.
Right. Tiger should get a cart because he went through a pretty violent accident.
So that cart thing with Daly started in 2019. It's just something he gets to use at the PGA Championship. Obviously, he won this event 30 years ago. He has osteoarthritis in his right knee.
Right.
He can limit how much he can actually walk, so he gets to use a cart in the PGA.
All right. Look, John's been here. I mean, remember I booked John Daly for that?
It was incredible.
And he's like, sure, I'll come. And I'm like, okay. And I texted him, and I didn't hear anything from him.
Yep.
And he's like, you know, Friday, this such and such time, I'll be there. And I kept on saying, confirm, can you confirm, confirm? Nothing.
Nothing.
And then we, remember when the day arrived, you're like, is John Daly coming? I'm like, I have no idea.
I have no idea. I'm not sure.
Because, you know, we need to do something for promotional purposes, and we need to do something like to let everyone know, our affiliates know, promote it. And then we go on the air, and then you get in my ear, like, guess who just showed up?
Like, yeah, the RV's outside.
He was outside smoking.
Pacing.
Then he just sat down. I'm like, good to see you, John. Thanks for coming.
It's like the two people who rip heaters when they come is him, and then Jeffrey Dean Morgan is always outside.
ripping heaters. Yeah, but Jeff looks like he's got a balanced diet, though.
Jeff looks in shape.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. Let's go to our friend Terzo in Iowa. What's up, Terzo?
All rise.
What's going on, Terzo?
What's up, guys? Hey, Del Tufo, I'm happy you're working on a Friday, man, because I heard you earlier in the week thinking you could outrun LT, my man, and there's just no way on this green earth that would ever
happen. Do you want me to hang up on you, Terzo?
I love it.
You had me cracking up about that one. But, Rich, a little bit with the NBA. I know we were talking last week about how good it's been, and I would have thought coming into the conference championships that we'd be seeing better basketball, but it kind of feels like everybody just wants to kind of give each other a win and just kind of walk away, and it just hasn't been very exciting.
You know what? What was that? It was like 2-3 years ago where every playoff game was like a total blowout. Do you remember that? Where it was,
I do,
and I forget what year it was, but every single time you say that, then suddenly the competition gets particularly intense.
I was actually talking about this last night with some of my friends. The last competitive game was Game 6, Celtics Bucks, when Tatum and Giannis went back and forth 40 plus games. I think we're at 5 in a row blowouts now since then.
I can very well see one happening tonight because, in all honesty, I like the Mavs store and I like what Luka's doing. I just don't think that they can keep pace with the Warriors. They're just hands or heads and hands above everyone else, I think. And I think they're just rolling right now, and I don't think that they got it in them, and I could very well see another blowout again tonight.
Yeah, 112-87, and then the Celtics blew out the Bucks 109-81. The Mavericks beat the Suns 123-90.
Yep.
Then on Friday, May 13th, a week ago, the Celtics blew out the Bucks 108-95. The Warriors blew out the Grizzlies 110-96. I mean, yeah. The Heat beat the Sixers 99-90, and I don't think that was even that close, right?
I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. Mavericks blew out the Suns 113-86. There you go. Bucks and the Celtics, 110-107. That was a game five.
It's been a while.
And the Grizzlies that night blew out the Warriors 134-95, and it wasn't even that close.
It wasn't even that close, yeah.
All right, Terzo, thanks for pointing out the NBA is disappointing us.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. There you go.
See you, buddy. And I kind of agree with them. I'm not sure how Dallas figures it out to keep it close tonight.
Oh, I don't know about that. We'll see. I don't know about that.
We'll see. I mean, hopeful, but I'm not optimistic.
I'm hopeful for the Warriors that Kerr's back, and then all of a sudden everybody's like the offense
flows.
He was back
last game. He had the mask on the sideline.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The offense flows, and the whole deal with the Grizzlies, you know, defensively, and that's the problem they're gonna give to so many teams. They're so big and long and fast. They close out. They jump in lanes. They make you. They get you out of sync. Mm-hmm. You know, they can really do that to you. And I think that they have a little bit of. They can dial up some kryptonite on the Warriors if Morant can just be active and score all those points. Look out! That is their formula for moving on. All right, Jarvis Landry is going to hopefully join us in hour three. I've just been told. If he can't, then we'll do it another time. But we still have George Kittle and Yannick Ngakoue, now of the Indianapolis Colts, in hour number three. Jeff Passan will join us as well here on the Rich Eisen Show. Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. It's been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-centered hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. There's four different types. This incredible Rogue ST driver, the Max, is what I fit in. It really is the one that fits most golfers and players. Incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. If you want a dedicated draw model, there's the Max D. If you want more trajectory with a more neutral ball flight, there's the Max LS. For the true players out there, there's the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS, the compact low spin head that the tour players love. Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go rogue. We'll take a break and we'll do what's more likely. That's what we're going to be coming up for this weekend. In hour number two, George Kittle will join us, and so will Jeff Passan, talking some football and baseball. Don't go anywhere.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
You know, again, this is something we talked about years ago, Chris, when Cage was born. how you were going to deal with all the Atlanta sports onesies and bibs and stuff that came to the house. And, you know, you
weathered that storm.
You weathered the storm, but you also did what I did, which was acquiesce on a few fronts of not putting, you know, putting anything in an awkward risk.
Right.
Where, you know, diehard Knicks fan growing up, my son's a Celtic fan. I'd be like, if you told me that in high school, I'd be like, over my dead body. Right. And then, you know, growing up in New York City when that vaunted, my brother and I sat in the last row of the stadium in the Meadowlands for a 1986, I believe, wild card game matchup between Ken O'Brien and Tony Eason, just to see who was right in the 1983 draft. And obviously both of us were wrong. And so, you know, if you had told me that day, hey, your sons and your kids are going to be Patriots fans, I'd be like, no, thank you. But, you know, when my kids were born and the Patriots stuff showed to the house and their quarterback is the GOAT and the Michigan GOAT, to say the least, and the Jets aren't doing anything, child services would come to the house and say, you know, we're taking your children away if you're going to put your foot down in any way, shape, or form. Use your very important preemptory, because those are very limited.
Few and far between.
They're not. You don't have an unlimited amount of peremptories. So certainly when the person that you're using your peremptory with just, what's the word for it, gave birth to the child and you just sat there.
I was like, great job.
Do you imagine with all that's going on physically, mentally, hormonally, that you're like, we need to have a talk about what I need.
I know you're right still now, in the hospital.
On the sports front.
Laid up, but no.
So when the Red Sox stuff came to the house, though, that was that's where I put my peremptory down.
One veto.
I put the peremptory down for that moment right there. That's a Yankee household in my house. Now, you just, you know, rolled over on the Georgia Bulldog front like you've been rooting for them there your entire life.
I mean, have. Come on. Go Dogs.
Remember all last season? I was just
my gosh.
This guy.
Go Dogs, by the way.
And it's acceptable for him, but not me.
Hold on a minute. You, sir.
Yeah.
You, sir. You're the arbiter in the situation. I'm making you the judge here. All judge right. TJ.
Terrible judge.
What's
terrible,
more?
Exactly.
What's
judge,
more?
Judge.
What?
Judge.
What greats? What?
Why? How am I a terrible judge?
What greats on you? No.
I'm most beyond reproach.
He's
person
the perfect,
on this
he's
set.
The perfect judge for this because he has 19,000 teams that he roots for.
Well, minus about 19,000, but sure.
So, but he always gives us grief when we give him grief.
Yeah,
he did.
About having an insane number of sports teams.
It's not even insane, Rich.
Okay. It is insane.
It's
insane.
Yeah. You can't run. It's college sports, Rich. There are 150 D1 teams. It's not weird to like more than one.
Two
I
NBA
don't
teams,
understand. How?
Two NBA teams.
Okay, what's weird? Okay, and then what? One football, one baseball, one hockey. Come on, guys. It's getting old.
Hey, TJ, play a lot.
No, I refuse. I
mean, no. Jesus. But you're the perfect judge for this.
Okay.
What's more grating or unacceptable?
This? Okay, what?
Me saying my Warriors, now taking the Warriors under my auspices, or him saying, or he saying my Georgia Bulldogs.
I've never said that, actually.
That is I won't call you a liar, but you're definitely fibbing.
You haven't said that, but you are absolutely.
You've used us with Georgia. You've definitely said us.
And you'd like walk around with pride about Georgia. Look how many Georgia Bulldogs got drafted, like been between the hedges drinking bourbon since you were three.
Why would I say that?
You did that as a overreact.
Your
wife is not a diehard Warriors fan.
It's got nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does.
I would say that
has everything to do with this conversation.
You're asking me which is more grating?
Yeah, which is more unacceptable?
You.
Okay.
Because of the fact that you make it seem like because I like a few college teams that have all these teams, that's ridiculous. So, yeah. Yours is more grading.
Okay.
And I'm now impeaching you as a judge. We're not using that anymore.
I'm now impeaching you as a judge. You've been disbarred.
I don't think that you can do that, actually.
I just did.
You have to keep a happy household coming from a guy who
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 104th PGA Championship, sponsored by Fidelity Wealth Management. Southern Hills has its claws out today in the second round.
Why would you say that?
Up to 4 miles per hour for storms in the night. Because of those high winds, the PGA of America did not mow the greens after the first round.
Out of
the
blood. But that hasn't bothered the 2017
And you wind up in a national semifinal game against Georgia on New Year's Eve. What are you doing?
Well, they're going to get smashed is what's going
to
happen.
Well, then that's what happened to me.
He moves to 200.
As you remember that photograph I Instagrammed out of my daughter coming up in the early part of the second quarter when the game is absolutely over, and I know there's no chance of this thing going to be happening, and I'm rooting for just one defensive stop so we can make it a two-score game. And she brought those beads to me.
Brooks Koepka was hovering near the cup line for a couple of birdies in his last three holes. He's plus two.
She had no idea the misery I was under.
World number one Scottie Scheffler.
What are you doing, Syracuse versus Georgia?
From Southern Hills Country Club, I'm Ted
Emmerich. PGA Championship, Justin Thomas.
There you go.
Just birdied the par 5 fifth. He is now 500 with Rory McIlroy.
Great update.
Brockman with the news.
Great update. That's your answer.
I like as many
it's
teams.
It's never going to happen. So it's a moot question.
I thought there was no chance Michigan was going to win the Big Ten this year going to the national championship semifinal.
All right, Chris, what if Georgia and Syracuse play in basketball?
What?
Every year, Michigan fans have the most delusional expectations.
That's untrue.
Well, I thought it was Cowboys fans.
Not me. You sit across from me. Do you think I sat down in this chair on opening weekend talking about Michigan like we're going to win a championship this year?
Basketball, you kind
of. The number of people are like, are you going to even be the Ohio State? What's wrong with your coach? Who's your quarterback? You guys think you guys are ranked just because you're Michigan. We're like, actually, we're not ranked. So, last year's not a good example. Georgia. His Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, I'm saying.
And I've never said my Georgia Bulldogs ever.
Brockman, what if Syracuse and Georgia play in the Sweet 16?
Well, then it's Cuse all the time.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
And you know Georgia's going to have a difficult time with that matchup zone, especially when 103-year-old Jim Boeheim is the one coaching it.
And his 14th child
in his 90th year as coach of Syracuse.
Can we get him out of here?
All right, let's do what's more likely, everybody. Right, here we go. Here we go. Another edition.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Chris, what do you got over there?
Hey, basketball, it's just not too many this week, guys. Not that much really going on this weekend. But
okay.
What's more likely NBA here? The Heat win a game in Boston over the weekend or the Mavs win tonight in Golden State?
I'll take the Heat in Boston. That's what I'll do. I'll take the Heat in Boston because I have a feeling that's going to go seven. That's what I feel.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's going seven. I think it's going deep, and I think that that's what's going to happen.
I agree.
I know you're not appreciative of that answer.
It's all good.
What do you think?
I think neither, to be honest, but if I had to pick one, I would take the Heat in Boston.
Well, you're the one who keeps telling me I always got to choose something.
I know,
you say that.
And I just chose one.
Okay, what do you got? What else?
All right, a couple of PGA Championship here, guys. What's more likely? Tiger misses the cut or John Daly makes it at the PGA?
I think John Daly's making the cut, man.
He's making
it. I think John Daly's making the cut. And Tiger's four, he's plus four, right? What's the cut line right now?
All right, so right now it looks like the cut line is going to be plus three.
Okay. Yeah, I have a feeling John Daly, because again, look how he prepared.
I mean, he's ready. He's got to make it. He's ready. Has anyone made the cut
please
and drank zero water?
Somebody asked, in golf media, asked John Daly how he did at the slots last night. Please.
Oh, please.
He probably won $1 million.
Well, he's lost over $1 million before.
At slots?
Yeah.
Plays, how do you lose that much money in slots?
Dedicated,
you can high
rich.
Limit $100 spins. Like it's
crazy.
It's possible.
There are some. Yeah.
It's possible.
I'm so naive.
And
when
you don't
it comes
know
to
when
stuff.
To fold them slots. And know when to walk away, it's apparently.
Okay. What else? Possible. What else, Chris?
As someone who's gotten really into slots, it's very possible.
He does love slots.
What's more likely? Rory goes wire to wire, or we get a first time major winner over the week. One of these young guys comes out of the mix. Sam Burns.
I don't know. I know what you mean. I'll take Cooch the field. I'll take the field of first time winners. I'll take the field of first time winners. That's what I'll do. I'll do that.
Safe play.
What else?
All right. Well, this was because we were going to talk to Jarvis Landry, but George Kittle's coming up.
Go for it.
What's more likely, 49ers or Saints make the playoffs this year?
49ers making the playoffs. 49ers making the playoffs.
With the first year starting QB?
Come on, man. Everybody's down on Trey Lance. I cannot wait to talk to Kittle about Trey Lance. Tell me about Trey Lance. and tell everyone about Trey Lance. I guarantee you this kid is going to start. He is going to be a problem. He is going to win football games, and the defense will make it stand up. And Debo will be singing Trey Lance's praises by Thanksgiving, and it's going to be... I will take the Trey Lance transition being smoother than what people believe. That's what's more likely. If you ask me a question about what's more likely, Trey Lance will have a smooth transition this year, or the 49ers will be left wondering if they made the right move, I will take the smooth transition.
What's more likely, that Trey Lance has a smooth transition into the starting role, nice, or they're going to live to regret the decision to let go of Jimmy G?
So I will take the smooth transition. Thank okay. you for setting that up in a more official manner. Thank you.
All right, last one. The big. We need celebrity deathmatch to come back just for this. Jimbo versus Saban. What's more likely, Alabama or Texas A&M makes the college football playoff?
Okay, turn the music down for this one. Let's explain to everybody what is happening right now in Nick Saban's head. Everybody thinks Nick is, what, whining and losing his grip. Take a look. He doesn't have the first overall recruiting class. Texas A&M does. And the reason why, and he just went out and said they bought players. And they're like, he's losing it. The Don is slipping.
He's slipping, Rich.
Right?
The Don is slipping.
That's what everybody is saying right now. That's the undercurrent of this whole thing.
Slipping.
And you know what that narrative is saying to me? You know what? Well, he's not gone. The line is, the Don, rest his soul, was slipping. And as we all know, the Don wasn't gone.
No, he wasn't.
He took
gone.
Seven shots, and he was still alive.
He's still alive.
So Saban's taking all these shots right now. And everybody's wondering if this is the beginning of the end of Alabama.
Still alive. They hit him with five shots, and he's still alive.
Five shots.
Five.
Okay. Like, that's the subtext right now. And you know what that is? Your question, Chris, what's more likely, Texas A&M or Alabama makes the college football playoff?
Yeah.
You know what that is? Rat poison. He is taking all this in right now, Nick Saban's taking it all in on his apology tour that he did on ESPNU radio yesterday, because Greg Sankey slapped him on the wrist. And he understands that he opens up a can that he needs to put back in. And I'm sure that didn't feel great for Nick. Him saying, I don't care what people think about me right now and all that business. At this stage of his career, he's just going to speak his mind. Rat poison. Tell me what the line is on that Alabama game against Texas A&M.
Yeah, stand by. I'll find that.
They already have a line on that?
I'm sure.
Crazy talk.
Probably not, actually.
Whatever that is, it's going to be a heck of a day in Tuscaloosa. Heck of a day.
A little scratch on Roll Tide.
Just saying that everything that's being said, the subtext right now, is something that Saban is soaking up, and he's going to pull everybody back in to just mix all different metaphors here from various Godfather movies. Hour two coming up.
Let's get them all. Let's hit them all now while we got the muscle.
Because they still have the muscle.
They do.
They still have Alabama. They still have the second best recruiting class.
Yeah.
I would too. So let me ask you this question.
Now, what is the difference?
Would you take Saban and the second best recruiting class, or Jimbo Fisher and the first top recruiting class? Which would you take? I know the answer. You know the answer. Jimbo Fisher knows the answer, which is why he went up there. It's like everybody thinks he's God. Walked on water, huh? Huh?
Not a damn debate, guys.
Everybody thinks that he's the greatest, huh? Like he's never had an advantage, huh? Yeah, his advantage in many different ways is he's Nick friggin' Saban. The number of responses that I saw on our Twitter feed and YouTube feed as well, on the multiple conversations we had, or if you will, takes that I had yesterday on this subject matter, and the response was, he's crying, he's whining, quit crying, Saban's a hypocrite. Listen to him whine and cry because he knows he's losing his grip. The NIL is making other teams better. He can't handle it. He's crying, he's whining, shut up, all that business. You don't think he's hearing that too? Oh, man. Rat poison for him. The yummy kind of rat poison. As you know, there's two different kinds. This is yummy for him. This is his rat poison. This is his rat poison.
He loves it.
It's not the players. Not the players he's concerned about hearing this stuff and feeling their heads and getting too big in their britches and looking at the opponent and thinking they're less than because all they got to do is roll out the footballs. They're Alabama. They're Nick Saban's players. Roll them out.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Right? Roll Tide. Roll out roll those tide. Footballs. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
You know? This is the yummy rat poison for him personally. That's going to be great. I think, so the answer to your question about what's more likely, I'll take Alabama making the playoffs.
I'm here for that plucky underdog Alabama football.
I mean, well, they have the number two recruiting class. Yeah. How are they going to do it? They don't have the facilities. They don't have the coaching. Wait a minute. I'm being told they do, and they do. Right? It's still Alabama. Yep. Hour two, George Kittle, Jeff Passan, and you. Don't go anywhere.